Welcome to the New Beginnings Community Church Podcast. Here at NBCC, we welcome the imperfect, flawed, and broken, as much as the healing and thriving, because we are all God's children. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
You can take a seat. Man, I hope that some of you hold on to that, though. When waters roar, mountains fall. Anybody feel the earthquake? Man, we are not prepared for an earthquake, man. We had one jolt, and I think all of us were like, this is it. Things happen, right, all the time on earth, and to imagine that high above it all, that's where our God is. He's not worried about the shakes of the earth because he's got you. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Go ahead, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Is there anybody that hates bugs, especially flying bugs? Go ahead, raise your hand. Hate flying bugs. Anybody like bugs? Okay, you're a weirdo. It's good. I see you, sir. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You're welcomed here. We're coming in the season where those Japanese beetles come out. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Those big old beetles, the ones that are like, you can hear them coming from like a mile away. They're like helicopters, you know what I mean? I hate those things. They fly around my backyard, and I could be sitting in my yard with the most important people in my life, my wife and my two daughters. Most important people in my life, right there in front of me. Around, I wanna know where it is at all times. It'll hide, they're quick, man. And you're gonna tell me they're blind, Charlie. Get it, I get that it can't hurt me, but I feel like it can hurt me. I'm gonna get the one beetle with teeth and it's just gonna kill me, all right? I feel that. And so the most important people in my life are in the backyard with me, and all I'm trying to find is that little beetle. Man, I feel like stress is like that sometimes. Most important people in my life are right in front of me, and you know what I'm thinking about? This thing that's just kind of hovering around me. This thing that's just kind of there. And the beetle, right? The beetle has no power over me. I know that if I was brave enough, I could catch the beetle. I could smash the beetle. I could tie some floss around it and hold it like a balloon, like some of you guys do. Some of you have told me that you've done that. You're a weirdo. It's great. I love that you do that. I know that I have the power to do that. That this beetle should not dictate my life, but it's got my focus. All I'm doing is thinking about, where's that thing? Where's that thing? That's like the stresses of some of your lives. It doesn't have any power over you. So many great things are happening and you're just focused on this beetle. I want you to see what Paul says to the church in Philippi, chapter 4. You know, they call this letter the letter of joy. Written in a time where the church is being persecuted, Paul's going to write a letter of joy. And he's given them a bunch of things to think about all throughout this letter. And as he comes to the end of the letter, I want you to see what he says to these people, this church. Some of them may be hiding. Some of them it might be secret meetings, I don't know. But he says this to them in verse 8. Go to verse 8 with me. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. We are going to have some notes today. I want you to write down this. It's your choice what you look for. I kind of explained, right, that we're going to have a shorter service, not a shorter service, a shorter time of speaking, a little more time of worship. And we're talking about things that we dwell on. In fact, you can actually write if you wanted, instead of writing, you choose what you look for, you can write, you choose what you dwell on. Because there are those of you in here that dwell on the beetle of your life so much that you are missing out on the goodness, on the purity, on the worship, on the excellence of the things that God is doing in your life. Because all you're doing is dwelling on the other stuff. And one of the reasons we were like, hey, we need to do a time of worship, because we knew this, that stress and anxiety is sometimes a spiritual attack. And it will spiritually attack you by trying to make you dwell on things that have nothing to do with God. And Paul is sitting on the right, and he's saying, hey, listen, I need you to stop, to a church that's being persecuted, to the very first Christians that have ever walked the face of the earth. He's like, hey, listen, I know there's stuff going on outside of here, but I need you to teach yourself to dwell on what is pure, what is right, what is of excellence, what is worthy of praise. We look at our phones and all that comes up is all the stuff that's garbage in life. And we are choosing to not dwell on what is good and what is pure. And worship is such a great time to shift our eyes and our focus onto not, oh, I just want to think about good things. I want to focus on the creator of everything, of every good thing, the greatest thing that's ever walked on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ. I want to look at the thing that is so pure and so good that it affects me. It's so holy that it makes me holy. I want to focus on that thing. And worship is our time to do that, as our time to dwell on what is pure and what is righteous and what is holy. And I'll ask, how are you doing that? Because I said, it's what you choose to look for. Meaning this, it's your choice what you decide to look for. Lee Strobel is an investigative journalist who talks about the case for Christ, and he has other books. And one of the things he said is this. He said that to those that don't want to find God, he remains hidden. But to those that look for him, he's more obvious than anything else in this world. To those that don't want to find God, they can't find him. He's hidden. But to those who search for him, he's more obvious than anything else in this world. What are you looking for? What are you dwelling on? You know, we have this amazing, I'm so excited about service today. And one of the things is like, we have an element of baptism that's gonna happen. And in fact, if you're getting baptized today, that means that you made the decision to make God the Lord and Savior of your life. Like, you're like, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. I am choosing to make him my God, and I'm gonna dwell on him. And we as a church are gonna get to celebrate that with you. So if you're getting baptized today, what I want you to do is I want you to stand up, and I want you to head to that door, because we're gonna get ready and have you get ready to get baptized. Go ahead, give him a round of applause. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about these testimonies in just a moment and why it matters. Now, if I was you and I was sitting in the crowd, one of the things I would tell me is like, Charlie, I get it. You don't want me to dwell on things that are bad, but it's impossible. It's impossible because it's all around me. It surrounds me. It's everywhere. I can't go through a day without it popping up on my phone, without it coming in an email. I can't go into a room without it all coming back to me. It's everywhere. It surrounds me. It's just gonna be, I guess, a part of my life. And I wanna show you the story. This is a story in 2 Kings. So go ahead, just go to 2 Kings really quick. 2 Kings, go to chapter 6. Find verse 13, but don't start reading it yet. What's happening in this story is that the prophet named Elisha is the prophet of God for the king of Israel. So there's a prophet of Israel and the king of Israel. And the king of Israel and the king of Aram are in a battle. They're fighting. And what's happening is Elisha is getting words from the Lord about what the king of Aram is doing, and then he's giving that information to the king of Israel. So every time the king of Aram wants to like launch a surprise attack, or he wants to go somewhere to find them or anything like that, the king of Israel already knows what he's gonna do, because God told Elisha and Elisha told that and told the king of Israel. And this is frustrating the king of Aram. And he is like, what is happening? How does this man know everything we're about to do? How is this even possible? Like, there's no way that he should know that. And so some of his advisors are like, well, it's that prophet Elisha. And he even says this. He goes, the prophet Elisha knows the very words you whisper in your bedroom. A little creepy, all right? But we're not going to move past it. He knows what you're going to do. So the king of Aram is like, all right, well, I guess I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to find Elisha, and we're just going to kill him. Once we kill him, then maybe the rest of the battle will work out. So he says, where is he? And that's where I want to pick up. Verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is, that I might send and take him. And it was told to him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. So King of Aram is like, where is he? They're like, he's in Dothan. He goes, all right. So he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God, so basically when the servant of Elisha, okay, when the attendant of the man of God got up early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and the servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall I do? Just pause there really quick. Can you imagine waking up? You're like, I'm gonna get up early. I'm gonna get a head start in the day. It's gonna be a good day. And you walk outside before even having, you know, your third cup of coffee, because you're kind of addicted, but we're not gonna talk about that today. And you walk outside and you look, and there's just an army surrounding you. Chariots, men with spears, horses. It's like being at like one of the rodeos here in Norco, but it's like everybody is there to kill you, right? It's like that. Imagine waking up, walking out, and that's what you see. And the servant of Elisha is like, dude, what is happening? What should we do? What should we do? They're all around us. And I would love to like have just like been like a fly on the wall to have seen Elisha's physical demeanor. Because the way that he approaches it in the next verse, it seems so like chill. Like he's just like I just imagine him just like walking outside, eyebrows kind of raised, like, all right. Like I just imagine, he has like no fear at all. And this is what he tells the servant. He says, so he answered, this is Elisha, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. At this point, the servant's like, this dude's been smoking too much, all right? Like he's been doing, he's seeing things. Because he can't see anybody. All he sees is the enemy. All the servant sees is the problem. All the servant sees is that he's surrounded by whatever it is that's trying to kill him. But Elisha's like, no, no, no. Who's with us is so much more than who's with them. And then Elisha prays this prayer. Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The servant couldn't see it, but Elisha knew. And all he said, he goes, hey, Lord, open his eyes so he can see what I know is true. And surrounding them was an army, but more than that army was the army of God. Chariots, not just regular chariots, chariots of fire, angels riding in, protecting them. All of a sudden, all the fear that servant had must have dissipated, because he knew that the enemy wasn't as strong as his God. I need you to write this down. God works where you cannot see. If you're struggling with stress and anxiety right now, and you're a believer, you need to understand this. God works where you cannot see. You're like, but he's not doing it where I can see. He's not showing up in like, he doesn't, and you're kind of getting nervous about that. Can I just tell you, wait, are you dwelling on the problem or are you trusting in the Lord? So there's a difference there. Is all you're doing, are you being like the servant who all he sees is an army surrounding him? Or are you being like Elisha, who by faith knows the army that's around me is so much bigger than the army that surrounds me that's my enemy? The army that's with me is so much bigger than the army that's against me. We have got to be people that choose to dwell on what we know, to dwell on the things that are good, but also to trust that even in the times that are bad, even the times where we feel like we are surrounded, we are never alone. That's why, and listen, you might think, but it's my job. I got to fight that battle. I got to fight that army. I got to fix this problem. No, 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 no. I got to make it work. I got to get angry enough to motivate myself to make it all happen for me. Let me tell you your only job in these moments. Your job is this. Our job is to focus on him through the chaos. That's your job. Your job is, while the army is surrounding you of your enemy, is to choose to focus and to dwell on the Lord. Not saying it's easy, but that's our job. Our job is not to try and fix everything, not to try and do, our job is this, focus on him. And as we focus on him, he's going to give us things to do. He is going to ask us to be obedient. He's going to say, I need you to move here. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to go here. That is what our job is. Our job is not to focus on what is going on in the world and say, I got to fix it all. Our job is to say, God, there's a lot of things going on in the world, but through the chaos, I will look to you. You want to know what a powerful time of worship is? It's that time. It's the time where things aren't going right and you still choose to worship. It's going to be the time in the next 5 minutes where I ask you to stand up, and you stand up with a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. And too many times we come into church and someone told us this a long time ago. They're like, just drop it all at the altar and don't pick it back up. And they told us that, which they told me that. And there is an element of truth there, but it looks like that what you should do is just forget about all your woes. Just pretend like they're not real and just leave them there and don't pick them up. What I'll tell you is this. I don't want you to drop them on the ground like they don't exist. I want you to hold them up to the Father and say, God, this is real, but I trust you. The feelings that I feel are real. My stress, it's happening, but I'm gonna trust you. And I'm not gonna focus on what's in my hand. I'm gonna focus on the one high above it all. I'm gonna focus on the one that sees everything. And I'm gonna choose to dwell on what is good in this world and not what everybody else tells me to dwell on. I had the baptism people come out early just so I could do this. Right here are testimonies. They're like literal people that you can say God is doing something. So you can look at what your phone says. I'm telling you, look what's at the front of the sanctuary right now. Look at the, do you know one of my friends, she doesn't know I'm gonna do this. So don't, like, she's gonna be a little mad and we're just gonna forgive each other, it's gonna be fine. But there's a young woman there named Lila. Do you know how Lila started coming to church? She puts eyelashes on my friend Marina's face. That's how she came to church. And they just invited her to church. That's it. You're like, oh no, like, I can't invite anybody to church. I mean, have you asked your eyelash person yet? I mean, do you know what I mean? There are things happening in individuals' lives that we should be choosing to dwell on, that should spurn us to more faith, that should spurn us to worship. And too many times, listen, I'll be honest, too many times, second service, we come in and we're just kind of like, all right, cool, I'm here. Charlie will be funny. Pastor Jim will do his movie quotes, and then I'm gonna leave and it's gonna be lunchtime. And too many times we don't walk in here saying, God is gonna do something in me right now. And I got stuff going on in my heart. I got stresses and anxieties going on in my life. And I'm just gonna pretend they don't exist for the 35 minutes, and then I'm gonna go back out. And I'm telling you, I want you to hold those things up to God in our next time of worship. Because I want him to be speaking to you and to burn away whatever it is that you're holding on to so that he can do something amazing in you. So I'm gonna have you guys stand up, and this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna do two things at once. Gentlemen, I know this is like your worst nightmare, all right? But we are, we're gonna do it. Two things at once. We can do it. I believe in us. We are gonna have people get baptized, and we are gonna celebrate with the loudest cheer as a community for the people that even though you don't know their name, you love them because they're a part of here. They might think, look different than you, I don't care. You love them because they're a part of this community, and we're gonna cheer and praise God for what he's doing in their lives. And at the same time, we're cheering for them, we're gonna praise God through whatever it is we got going on in our own lives. We're gonna say, God, I'm choosing to dwell on what is good while also telling you this is what's going on. And through it all, I'm gonna sing. And I'm not gonna sing halfway. I'm not gonna sing kind of. I'm gonna give you the same energy that I'm giving this thing, that I've been giving this thing that's stressing me out. The same energy that I've been giving this thing that's been stressing me out, that's been causing me anxiety, I'm gonna give worship to you with the same amount of energy. And the same amount, if not more, because I trust in you. That doesn't matter what's going on in my life, that you surround me. So we're gonna enter back into a time of worship. Again, we're gonna celebrate with them, and worship God and hold up whatever it is. If we got something going on, we're gonna hold that thing up. Maybe it's gonna be symbolic by you raising your hand. Maybe it's gonna be symbolic in some different way, I don't know. But I do not want you to leave this place with just practical advice that's from the Bible on how to, I want you to understand that there is a spiritual side to this that we have to battle spiritually. Pray with me. Father, guys, we got stuff going on. God, some of us have big things that surround us. God, we give you this time. God, we celebrate with those who are making life-changing and have made life-changing decisions. And God, we choose to dwell on the things you're doing in this world despite everything else. And we choose to praise you through the chaos of our life because God, what greater thing that we have than the rest of the world than knowing that you are the Savior, than knowing that you are the Lord, than knowing that you hold everything in control. So God, we will praise you for that. And we will thank you for that. And we will trust you in whatever circumstances surround us that you have our back and that you're with us, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. I honestly hope you hold on to that because some of you guys need to understand that God is coming through. He made a promise to you. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you got to know you're not alone. Before we end today, I'm going to just take some time. Can you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Don't sit down unless you're really tired. But I talked a lot about, as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I talked a lot about Elisha being surrounded because he was the prophet of God. He was following God. So when he was surrounded by the enemy, he was also surrounded by the army of God, God's peace. And some of you are not choosing to follow God. That's just not been a choice you've made. And you're trying to handle enemies by yourself and it's just not working out. Either you've never made the commitment or you've walked away from that commitment, but it's hard for you to find God anymore because you haven't been looking for him. And maybe in the service you began to see him, maybe you began to sense him, maybe when you were walking in the parking lot, you just knew, man, today's the day I gotta accept Christ as my Savior. Or maybe you've been coming for the last couple weeks and it's just been building up. Whatever the case is, I want to give you an opportunity to make God the God of your life. For you to stop playing God in your own life. For you to stop being surrounded by the enemy all by yourself. But to choose to put your belief in him who will never leave you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to make that commitment, all I want you to do is where you are. It's going to be hard for me to see you today, so I apologize. But wherever you are, if you want to make that commitment today, either for the first time or you want to come back, I just need you to raise your head and open your eyes and just look right at me. I'm really hoping I saw everybody. If not, though, you made the commitment by looking up. That's between you and Jesus. So right now, bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to say this prayer together as a community. We are so excited that you've made the decision to follow Christ. We're just stoked for you. We can't wait until you're here in the baptism tank publicly declaring that to everyone here. But I want to say this prayer with you. So everyone in the room, repeat after me. Father, forgive me my sins. Jesus, be the Savior of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Counsel me. Comfort me. Give me the peace beyond all understanding. Convict me so that I can follow you. Jesus, right now I pray for every single person that raised their head that either I saw or I didn't see, that God, you would begin to speak to them right now. Holy Spirit, you begin to move in them right now, that they would just know that they are loved, that they are cared for, that they would hear the words of the Holy Spirit coming into their heart where they used to hear words of you're a failure, you're this. God, now they hear the words of you have purpose, you are perfect, you are wonderfully made. That Father, they would begin to feel that peace that surpasses all understanding, that now they know that they are never going to be alone. No matter who surrounds them, they are never alone. That God, you begin to do a work in their life as it takes small steps toward becoming more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, repeat after me. Lord, keep me outward focused and fill me with your Spirit. Give me the boldness to share the gospel with others and open up opportunities to minister outside the church because I see what I'm looking for. And make me into a generous person like you. God bless you guys. We'll see you guys next Sunday.
If you need prayer or a dedicated your life to Christ, please reach out to us on our social media, on Facebook and Instagram at NBCCNorco, or email us at hello@nbcc.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share and subscribe to this podcast.